All right, folks, so there's actually been news really for the first time since April in this Iran versus US slash Israel story. A couple of days ago, I happened to be driving past the petrol station where I keep on doing the spot check, and that has been pretty stable, or about £1.55 per litre for weeks now, but basically since the ceasefire in April. Suddenly it jumped up to £1.65, and I registered that and I thought something's happened. 10p increase in the price of petrol, something's happened. What happened? And sure enough, there has been a violation of the ceasefire by, surprise, surprise, Israel. This happened late last week, where Israel violated the ceasefire by attacking what they claim were Hezbollah targets in southern Beirut. This injured over a dozen people. Trump, it was reported in all of the newspapers, called Netanyahu, said that he was effing crazy, quote, and said on the phone, "What the F are you doing?" Whether this is kayfabe or not is the subject of some speculation. I'll get to this later on, but there are serious signs, I would say, that the relationship between America and Israel is strained, to say the least. And there are actual tangible things coming from the Pentagon and the DIA, that's the Defense Intel Agency, that suggest that this is not kayfabe. However, I should mention that some commentators, like Brian Beletic and others, are claiming that this is kayfabe from Trump to try to, you know, in that narrative, they're using kind of Israel or this narrative as a proxy to kind of do stuff they want to do already, and kind of selling this narrative to the public. More on that in a second. Let's just stick to what happened before we get there. Iran retaliated to this. They hit a couple of Air Force sites in Israel, one called Tel Nof, the other one called Nevatim, with ballistic missile strikes. Israel claimed that these were mostly intercepted, as they almost always do. Fog of war means we cannot really assess the true damage as of right now. Iran are calling this Operation True Promise 5. This is actually the first tangible direct strike on Israel by Iran since the ceasefire back in April. Iran said, if you attack in Lebanon, we will retaliate. This is Iran saying, you know, to quote 50 Cent, we ain't playing, know what I'm saying? And you know, they had to make good on their word. They did. They struck in Israel because Israel violated the ceasefire. Then Trump directly told Netanyahu, directly told Israel, do not retaliate to this. There wasn't a lot of damage done by these Iranian. This was just kind of shot across the bows from Iran. Trump was saying, look, nothing was damaged. Don't retaliate. Did Israel listen? Surprise, surprise. They did not listen. And on Monday, that's earlier on, as I record this, earlier on today, Israel retaliated by hitting multiple targets in Iran, which means that in real time, Netanyahu directly disobeyed Trump, who has continued to urge restraint. We've had this go around before when there were, remember, Joe Biden's red lines, which Netanyahu then brazenly crossed. Well, now Trump, in very clear terms, has given direct orders. These direct orders have been disobeyed by Netanyahu. This is a developing story, but as things stand, that is what has happened. Okay. Now, I'm going to go into a bit more detail in a moment, but first of all, I'll remind people, pick up courses at the academic agency. I've been doing a little bit more kind of like material on what's in those courses recently. Earlier on today, I put out a kind of lecture on public speaking, which ties directly to foundations of rhetoric. Last week, I did one on writing. Maybe I'll do a logic one soon. So check out that video if you haven't watched it. I've been told the algo kind of buries those sorts of videos a bit, foreground videos like this, which are about the news. But if anything, those are more valuable than these ones. But anyway, there we go. Let us now get back to the situation. So we've had a violation of the ceasefire. As the heavens are opening here, if you can hear the rain, it's because it's really started raining here. We've had a violation of the ceasefire by Israel, Iran then punishing Israel for violating the ceasefire, and Israel retaliating with Trump telling everybody to calm down and try to get his peace deal back on the road. One of the real questions is, one, what's going on between the US and Israeli relationship as things stand right now? Is this all kayfabe, as Brian Balletic claims, or is something else going on? That's one question I want to answer here. The second question is, look, it's June now. The ceasefire has been live since April. So, have the two sides recovered? Have they rearmed? What's the rearmament process been like? Where are they? Well, on that front, by all accounts, as far as I could see, Iran has recovered faster from what happened in April than Israel, and indeed than America, due to its production base, the speed of its ability to make missiles, the speed of its ability to replace lost drones, and just the very fact that Iran has a manufacturing base at all, means that it's been able to very rapidly replenish what was a lot of what was lost. You know, it was said they were down to 50 to 60% back in April. Well, by all accounts, they're back up and running in many places. All of those launcher sites that were hit are back online. I mean, there were reports on the ground at the time, if you remember my videos, reports coming from within Iran, that they were actually fixing those launch sites in real time. And, you know, they'd be hit at, let's say, 12 p.m. and by midnight they were back up firing again, okay, even back in April. But if you can imagine, we've had like 2 months for them to repair any of the damage that was done to those launch sites back then. Remember, most of Iran's capacity is deep underground, and despite what you hear from Donald Trump, they didn't really hit any of that. So they have been, they maybe raised a few eyebrows by getting back online as quickly as they have in Iran's case. In Israel's case, the interceptor stocks and so on were massively depleted back in April. I always thought, there was a side of me, the strategy game aside, was like, why is Iran ceasefiring? Just keep on hitting them, right? Because you want to see it through. Like, obviously, we don't know the ins and outs. Maybe America was threatening nukes or something. Who knows, right? Or maybe, I don't know, maybe there's some factor that we can't see. But as far as I could see, back in April, they were pummeling Israel every single day. And, from a just pure strategy point of view, why give them the reprieve? Why give them the timeout? Maybe Iran had their own reasons for it. Where are we with the interceptor stocks? And apparently the lead time, okay, and the sheer cost of those interceptors required to replace them all means that Israel has not really replenished that stock, like those depleted stocks from April. It's been very slow in managing to build those back up. So if things kick off back again, essentially Iran has rearmed. Israel has struggled to rearm. This brings us on to the sheer number of MQ-9A Reapers that have been lost by America. Apparently, it's in the region of 24 to 30 MQ-9A Reapers. To put this into context, each one of those Reapers costs about $1 billion, okay? One MQ-9A Reaper cost $1 billion. America has lost at least 24 of them, if not 30. Okay, so that's $30 billion up in smoke that Iran took out during the last time they had a war, and in general in their various strike actions against American bases. General Atomics, who manufacture these, have told the Pentagon that there is only 9 MQ-9A Reapers left in the entire world. So they've lost almost 30, and there's only 9 left in the entire world. They just can't make them anymore. They just are not able to replace the lost stock. Okay. Now, many of you have probably been listening to the warblings of the US president. I told you all the way back in April, your best policy is just to ignore Trump. Anything coming out of the White House, anything Trump says, these reports that he's calling Netanyahu effing crazy and what, you know, just ignore Trump. Okay, just ignore Trump. If you want to actually see what is happening here. You know, my assessment, not that I have great expertise in this area, but from what I can see, Israel are in some trouble if this conflict kicks back off. So if anything, if Trump is trying to restrain Israel, he's doing it for their own good, right? He's doing it for their own good, because if this kicks off again, there's a kind of lack of, you know, there is starting to be where the depleted stocks for America and Israel are critical. And speaking of the word critical, this is where we get back to the US-Israel relationship, because, you know, you could say, well, US trust of Israel is at an all-time low, okay, from a public relations point of view. You know, many people under the age of 60 years old, really, definitely under 50 years old, have no love for that little country in the Middle East anymore, okay? And this is being massively amplified by Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, et cetera, et cetera. We've been over all of that. But this is something new. Something new has come, which is that the Defense Intel Agency have caught Israel installing spyware on Pentagon staff and on U.S. state officials. U.S. state officials, including members of Trump's White House admin. Because of that, the Pentagon has moved Israel. They put Israel as a, quote, critical security concern in counterintelligence. That's a pretty big deal. For the Pentagon's DIA, that's not DEI, right? That's the Defense Intel Industry, to put Israel up on critical, pretty important point, I'd say. Again, this was reported in all of the major newspapers, including the New York Times. So this is not like, this is stuff that you may have missed in the news that hasn't really been highlighted, but it's pretty important, I would say. And this comes at the same time as Israel itself is under some pretty major economic strain, not just the cost of the war, but the ongoing costs of its reputation in the world, and a state of what can only be described as public fatigue with it all. And I'm not talking about public fatigue in America, although there is fatigue in America. There's Israel fatigue in America. I'm talking about Israel fatigue in Israel itself. Okay? Like, there's been hardship. There's been costs to pay for all of this. And Netanyahu, you know, seems like he's a bit of a kind of faded figure these days. He's been in and out of hospital and so on. And yet, here he is back up to his old tricks, defying Trump in a very brazen manner. What happens? Who knows? Maybe the war is back on. Maybe it is not. Maybe common sense will prevail. And this is just a kind of, you know, little flurry before some final deal is signed. I should mention Brian Beletic's view, somebody who I will never dismiss because he's got so many things right in the past. He maintains all of this, what I've just mentioned, is kayfabe. Kayfabe to sell to the public that, you know, America doesn't really want to do this. It's all Israel up to it. But really, Israel is furthering U.S. Empire kind of needs, U.S. geopolitical ends. I will mention that. Many people, of course, disagree with that. My view on this is, again, I mean, I would just say ignore Trump. Whatever Trump says is less relevant than whatever actually happens. And what has actually happened is a few missiles have been lobbed in either directions, you know, and the price of petrol has gone up for 10 pence. That's significant enough for me to make a video. Right? This is not nothing. There's been a whole bunch of nothing. And I completely not made Iran videos during that whole bunch of nothing. This is something, and it could escalate into more. So watch this space. I thought I'd put this out today. Let me know what you make of it in the show notes. And I'll see you all next time. If you liked this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.